Hi, I'm Donna Patton, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and you are here for Jesus-centric leadership. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great today. So we are talking about this idea, right, of a culture over locks, right?
Right, but let's start it out with, help me have a working definition of what is culture. We hear it a lot, but it's kind of a term that's getting thrown around. For the sake of this, how do we define culture?
Yeah, I think it's a way that we as people operate in a certain way. It's almost that I don't think about it, I just act in a certain way. And that's the goal of culture. And the reality, when we say culture, you don't have to try to have culture, it just happens. But what we want to talk about is being more intentional with what culture we have. Because there's things about this. There's good culture and there's bad culture. Every family has things that they do that are really great and awesome. And it's like, this is what makes our family is this. And then we also have things probably about our families that we don't like.
Okay, so my family, we have a culture of competition. Is that the right use of this?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there's good parts about that and bad parts about that.
Just ask my daughter-in-law.
Right. Yeah. And when somebody, and sometimes you don't even know your culture until somebody comes in and they're like, oh, this is kind of weird. And you're like, no, this is just who we are. Right. Well, that's culture. But we want to be intentional about that because do we have a culture that's following Jesus or a culture that's actually contrary to what Jesus said?
So understanding your culture becomes a checkpoint. Are we at the right place? Are we not? Are we where we should be? Are we going where we want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because how we embody our lives and live our lives without thinking is important. Right? How we're following Jesus just naturally is important. Do I love naturally or do I have to work at love? Right? And culture would say that, well, sometimes you have to work to do that love, but once it's truly culture, it's just kind of natural. It's who you are. You could use it's on brand, right? That's a popular thing to say right now.
Right. So I'm intrigued by the topic. You give me these topics, right? And then we start talking. and I'm looking at culture over locks. What is that?
Yeah, so a story, right? And sorry, Donna, it has to do a little bit with you. But when I came into Peace, we had literally, I think, like 50 keys. So like George, our kind of facilities guy, he made the joke. He's like, yeah, if I drove my car into a lake and got out of my car, I would sink because of all these keys in my pocket. And so I always wondered, like, why, you know, since the first day here, and generally churches have a lot of keys because we, like, have a lot of building projects. But I think we had more than even a normal church.
Yeah, I think almost every different door had a different key. You're absolutely right.
Right. And so I guess what I started figuring out when I had conversations with people, because I always wanted to know the why behind it. There's always a story.
Right.
But what I found out is that we didn't always all get along on staff. And we don't today either. We're not perfect. People don't always get along. But what we did is when we didn't get along with somebody, we would change a lock on the door, and that would theoretically keep somebody out.
Right.
And so that's one way to work together. Like, fences are valuable. It's good for there to be a fence between my neighbor and I because we know what's his and what's mine. But when we're talking about Jesus's mission, if our church is a part of Jesus's mission and our goal isn't how successful my part of the mission is, but our goal is about seeking and saving the lost and how we're doing that together, that's not always how we want to operate. We want to, right, have good culture, not just lock people out.
Right. And now being on this side of the whole lock issue.
Yeah.
Did the shift in culture, so your desire was to see a shift in culture, mm-hmm. that we could do better, that
yeah.
we didn't need to keep people out. I trust these people with my kids. Why can't I trust them in my office, right?
Yeah.
That kind of became your saying. So how did that shift of culture happen?
I think it was in what I said and what I didn't say. So like I think I started saying some things very intentionally, and they don't right now actually, but one of the things I would say is, yeah, we share our facility here. It's God's, it's not the schools or the ELCs or pastors. And I would say, yeah, and even the counters, the money counters on Sunday morning, use my office to count in. And so that was one of the things that, you know, I just began to say, like to speak into how we how we share our spaces and how we share what we have for his kingdom purpose. And, you know, and then it was, you know, things that I didn't say, how I was, I think, active and encouraged others to be active within different ministries, that, you know, be present in the school, or wanting our teachers to be present in the ministry of the church as well. And all those things, I think, were important to valuing this culture that we have.
So again, looking at how the change came to be, then all of a sudden we're leaving our office doors open. There are no more locks. We've rekeyed the building. Mm-hmm. We're on minimal keys now.
Yeah.
And we just brought somebody else new on staff. And a part-time, they have a space, an office space, and they don't close their door. Nobody's had to say, hey, don't close your door. But they're starting to get on with that culture and understand it, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, at some level, it's the understanding that we want to share what we have. I mean, we're using the worship office right now that Jeff and Ellie and Jonathan all share, but we're podcasting in it,
right?
Because there's a space that works well for it, and they understand that, and we share. And then, you know, the school next week is going to do accreditation meeting, and they're going to use the church's conference room, right? And that's kind of weird for us because they're back in our space. But again, it's a great space for them to use for that. And so how do we utilize our building to share our ministry? But it really comes down to this idea of how are we not just saying, hey, we share this building, but how are we embodying a culture that sees that as normal? Like, I think it's natural now that, yeah, it makes sense that the school would use the conference room, right? That it's a space that they can use.
Okay, so now that we've worked out all of our therapy issues around locks at peace, how does this tie into a leadership-centric podcast, our culture? Just kind of speak a little bit deeper on that.
Yeah, so I think a few things. We're going to be going through, you know, 9 different cultural statements over the next 3 weeks with you guys. And those are, you know, unique to us at Peace with Christ. And they're all rooted in Scripture, but we believe they're things that are really important for us as peace. And I think it's good because it gives us shared common language as we're training volunteers, as we're leading other people, to make sure that we're kind of working together. Because it's one thing to say that we share our building. It's another thing to actually do it. And so what we want to do is we want to normalize certain things that Jesus teaches us to do. And some of them are things that probably you already are very aware of at Peace. Some are ones that you might not. But how do we really normalize that as we're leading people? Because it's going to help you understand more what's important to us at Peace, but also how you lead other people in that.
Now, I said in my family, we have a culture where we love to play games and we're very competitive. My daughter-in-law doesn't always like that competitive side of me, but she's learned, you know, to kind of love it and put up good boundaries like, hey, we're not going to die on this hill with this game of Catan.
Yeah.
Okay, so is culture that way? Is culture where I may not always get it, but I can learn it? Is it intentional? Is it unintentional? Speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, again, I think it's when we think about following Jesus, there's some things he wants of us, and sometimes it is very natural. Sometimes it's very, well, for instance, we'll take this. Jesus kind of restated the Ten Commandments. Very popular verse, right? Jesus restated the Ten Commandments as this. Love God, love others. And what's interesting about that really is, I think, a cultural statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Jesus isn't setting a rule. He's not setting a line. And so we can go back to like the locking the doors or this one. We lock our thermostats up, and we're working on this. This is going to be changing, but we lock our thermostats up in each classroom. And basically we tell each of our teachers, hey, we trust you with kids, but we don't trust you to touch the thermostat, so don't. Now, the reason for that, we have actually a really good reason for that at Peace. The reason why we don't let them is because the rooms are shared. So when one teacher touches the thermostat, it affects 5 other people. But what we want to do is we want to teach the culture of watching out for each other. But so what Jesus, you know, did with love God, love others, is he really set out this cultural statement that is, it's easy to understand, but it actually is a lot harder to live than the Ten Commandments. Like when the Ten Commandments are don't murder, don't kill someone, don't commit adultery, like that's pretty cut and dry, I do or I don't. But love, love is really, really hard, right?
Yeah, and we've had this conversation before. Love gets really hard when I have to love my neighbor and they look different.
Yeah.
Or I have to love my neighbor and they believe different.
Yeah.
Or I have to love my neighbor and they don't mow their yard or snow blow the sidewalk. Yeah. And I do, and I'm getting a little frustrated with that, right?
Yeah, and I have to love the people at church that don't always see eye to eye with me, but yet they're my brother and sister in Christ, and I'm called to love them, or I'm called to love this person that I'm leading at work.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the sense of that culture is both, it can be very accidental, but it's best when we are looking at it intentionally. And I think as we grow in it intentionally, as we grow in our love, it does become easier and more natural to love. But it's not just always, culture isn't always going to, you know, we'll talk through our cultural statements and all of them aren't going to feel natural to you. Some of them probably will, but some of them don't. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to follow Jesus together in the same way and have a way to talk about it when we're not.
Yeah. Why is this such a big deal now? I don't think this is something that the church has always looked at, is this culture piece. Why is it standing out to you as something that we really need to get across?
So I would say that it goes back to the idea of, are we able to talk, have some vocabulary to talk about how we're loving Jesus and following him, right? And what does it look like to bring new people into peace and help them grasp and understand what we're about? Like we brought on a few new staff members, but Jeff had been here for a while, so we knew a lot of our culture. But bringing in Joe, like from somewhere else, do we have a way to explain to him what the culture is? And then hopefully he's going to see it. But the idea is of culture is there's always things in our that happen in peace with Christ that match and don't match our culture. But do we have a way of calling that out, like with our staff member, if we have somebody that's not embodying one of our cultures and he sees them and he's like, oh, it's really cool that this person is doing this. Do we have a way to explain that and say, hey, yeah, that might fit other places, like that might fit in a secular world, but that's really not the culture that we want to have at peace with Christ, and here's why. But when we have these statements, it makes us easier to discuss them and talk about it.
Yeah, and it's not always what I have to do, but it's about what I get to do.
Yeah.
We don't want to live on the law side of it. We want to live on, I get the privilege to serve with you. I get to love you, and I want us to be going in the same direction.
Yeah, correct. And I think there's a lot of, when we talk about culture, there's a lot of ways that you get to be yourself within that. Right, that you get to be who God has uniquely wired you. Like one of our values we'll talk about is grace. And I think how certain people show grace is different. But there is an opposite of grace that I think can be pretty clear. There is, judgment. There is looking down on people. There's a lot of things that don't fit into that culture. And it gives us the ability to talk about those when something's off, that we have a way. Because we kind of know what our culture is, I think. Most people, if you've been around peace for, 2, 3, 4 years, you kind of know what culture is. You know when something like doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say that. This doesn't feel right or there's something wrong here. But when we can have our culture embodied, we can kind of put words around it to describe why it feels off, why it doesn't quite match what's going on.
Yeah. All right, so one other thing I want to touch on. You keep talking about values. Why are more and more churches talking about values in the midst of their culture? Like, why is that a big deal?
Because the values set the culture. Like, the culture is just what is, right? It just exists. You have a culture, whether you realize it or not. But values is kind of the way that we talk about this is how we embody following Christ here with these values. This is what our culture looks like because we're following Jesus. It's these values.
Now, I was talking with some people yesterday, and they are of the founder generation. Mm-hmm. And when they started hearing that we're going to start talking about values in our Connect class, which is where people who are new to peace can be part of our church family, they were immediately like, whoa, whoa. Are we going to be teaching biblical values? Oh. Are we creating our own? How do you come up with the values, and are they biblical?
Yeah, I think they all have to be biblical, and I believe when we're talking about them, we'll talk about how they fit into Jesus and how they fit into the Bible. So yeah, they absolutely have to be biblical, but I think the reality of it is a lot of times biblical values means more about right and wrong. It means more about the rules. And sometimes we miss that Jesus wants us to love others, and that's complicated and difficult. And so, yeah, when we talk about our values, they are going to be all biblical, but it's not just right and wrong, morality. It's not just that. It's really how are we following Jesus together and embodying that love that he's called us to have for him and that love that he's called us to have for God.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Great.
All right.
Let's go.
What was the culture that Jesus had with the disciples? I think I'm going to know that one right off the bat. And what would you say his top three values were with the disciples?
Why don't you answer the first one since you have it? And then I'll think about the top three values.
I think the culture was exactly what he said, to love God, love others, right? And probably the third, to share the great commission, to go make disciples.
Yeah.
So now back to you with the values. Or did I leave something out?
No, I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, Jesus's values. I think it's really the same.
With the disciples.
Yeah, with the disciples. I think, you know, one of them we see is a real big value of relationship. Like, you know, that's something we're going to be talking a lot on the podcast. We see Jesus valuing relationships. He said, not just come follow me, but really what he's inviting them into is doing life with him, like for them on an everyday basis. And so I think that was huge. I think a relationship with God was really big for him. I think we see grace come out time and time again with the disciples, right? Peter messes up, he denies Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He comes after him with grace. He doesn't just say, hey, I'm over here if you want grace. He really says to him, he comes after Peter with grace, right? And so I think, you know, those are some that we see in Jesus. And, you know, his dying on the cross is embodiment of that value of grace as well.
Yeah, great. And that drove his ministry. That is what he built his father's church on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I would just say, I think for us as leaders, as we're thinking about, you know, our leading our families and at work and possibly in the church and whatever that looks like, I think it really, you know, I really want to drive home the fact that, like, culture can be intentional or unintentional, right? Like, I can, I'm going to create a culture with my kids regardless of what I do. And what is that culture? Is it a culture of a dad who will drop everything and play on the floor with them? Right, that's a culture.
Right.
Or is it a dad who's, you know, always on his cell phone, which I can fall into that trap too, right?
Right.
Like, those are the things that that I do as a leader. Part of what I have to do is I have to be intentional about the culture that I set, right? If I want a certain culture, it's my job as a leader to make sure that I'm intentional with that. If you want a culture at work, if you're leading people, of approachability, right? If that's important to you, you're going to have to model approachability. You're going to have to receive people when they want to talk to you. You're going to have to do that. Whereas if you want a culture of, you know, you have to set a meeting with me at this exact same time because I don't want to be bothered. And again, there might be value in that culture, but we do have to be intentional about what we want when we're talking about leading people. And the same is true in the church, right? We don't just follow Jesus just because Jesus says, come follow me.
Right.
We have to be intentional about how we are following Jesus and how we're leading others to do that same thing.
And then to see it as a privilege and a way we get to love people to him, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm excited and interested as we delve into values. And I'm Donna Patton, Pastor Josh, and we look forward to seeing you to the next episode of Jesus-Centric Leadership. Thanks for joining us.